service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
I would like to invite the children to come up if you would. And Mark, Scott, and John, and Marshall, and Tom, come on. Oh, are you okay, honey? You can come up too. Did he fall? Did he bump? Oh, okay. Good. This is perfect. Just like this is good. All right. I want to talk to you guys about what we're going to talk about in the sermon today, okay? It's all right. Does he want his candy early? Anyway, in the sermon today, we're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. And he was going to tell us that he said he used to be a certain way, and then he became somebody different, okay? And so what he was trying to help the people understand is that when we change, certain things we used to do, we don't do anymore. So I want to show you his two attitudes, okay? I hate those people over there. Oh my goodness, God is really stupid. I just don't like church. Church is such a horrible place. What do you guys think? And they said, way to go. Yeah. Patted me on the back. Yeah, way to go. And a bunch of stupid people go to that church, don't they, Mark? Look at those crazy kids going to that church. Let's get out of here and have a beer. See you guys. I don't know who's preaching the sermon, but thank you to him. Then Paul said that he became different, not because he was a good guy, but because God came down and he saw this mean, cruel, wicked. I mean, he hurt people. All right? He didn't just say, I don't like you. He would kick little kids. Yeah. And that was Paul. And then it says this. But God, who saw what a wicked man I was, changed my heart. And I began to realize how foolish I was, how mean I was to little kids and people. And he changed my heart. And as he changed my heart, I began to say, God loves you guys. And I'm sorry I ever said anything bad to you. And I now understand why you people go to church. I now understand why you make your marriages work. I didn't even know those things. And you know what? There were people on this side too who came around him. And they began to pat him on the back and encourage him. Yes. And encourage him. These are good people, aren't they?
They love the Lord. Huh?
And loving the Lord is what it's all about, isn't it? And Paul understood something very important. All right. Thank you, guys. You can tell by who gathered around Paul, whether he was doing something good or bad sometimes. Because the people who gathered around him when he was wicked and mean and all those things, oh. Some people still liked him, wicked and mean and kicking kids. There. And when Paul got changed, he also had people around him that God had sent to encourage him. All right. Now, in my sermon today, I want you to listen, because we're going to be talking about Paul, and it's really not just about him. It's about the fact, did God love me when I was really mean and cruel and hated people? Oh, this is the heart. Yes, he did. Oh, God still loved me. And he sent down his spirit, and he changed my mind, and he changed my heart. And I began to look at kids and say, God loves you, and you're special. That's what we're going to talk about today, about God's willingness to love even people that are horrible and mean and hate kids. He loves them too. Can you remember that? I'm going to try and teach you the big people today, so you listen for it, okay? That God loves us whether we're nice or whether we're mean and wicked and ugly. All right? Can you remember that? Kicking kids, right? Does God love me anyway? Yes. Am I supposed to kick kids, though? No. You got it. You got it. All right. Come on up. Let's see what I have in here. I hope this works okay. Oh, great. This is a non-tear package. I should have torn it. I thought about it. Yeah, laugh at me, I know. Here we go. Grab one.
Thank you.
And if you know the men, if you know the guys that helped me, give them one too. If you know who the men are that helped me, give them one too. Do you get to take one, honey? You got one? There you go. I got more. So they can't steal it in the store, so you can't get into it here either. There you go, honey. Take one for Grandpa. That's good. Take one for Grandpa. There we go. Did all my men get one that helped me today? Good. A man is known as much by his enemies as by his friends. I thought that's an interesting concept. And I was reading Paul here, preaching, writing this letter to Timothy, and I came across that verse, okay? I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, and the church loved me. Right? I mean, you do understand. All the guys over on this side, you may have thought they were just mean people going to get a beer with me, but they represented the scribes and the Pharisees and all those individuals, those higher-ups in the church. I was a persecutor, a violent man, and all that. Oh, Paul, you are just our man. We love it so much because of the way you treat and do things with people and the way you talk about certain things. Now, I made it sound pretty bad, all right? I made it sound like hating kids and things like that. But you guys know it's more sophisticated. You guys understand that if we're not careful, people in the church can applaud and support those men and or women who behave in such ways that they become aggressively mean, destroyers of the people of God, and attackers of the people of God. The church has been justified over the centuries doing everything from killing a man because he translated the Bible into English. Good job. We got to kill more of those kind of people. They would kill people because of something that they said or didn't say that one or another person didn't agree with. They would hunt them down. They would destroy them. They would burn them at the stake and burn their families. You begin to understand what struck me for the first time is that here was Paul making confession of everything wicked that he was, and yet at the same time, I was once a blasphemer, I was once a persecutor, and a violent man. And what struck me as he shared that list is that this was the man that the Pharisees said, you're the man for our job. You're the man we want. We want you out there doing these very things, persecuting, being violent, doing these actions and behaviors, and we want you to represent the God of the universe. We want you to represent Yahweh. This is who we want out there representing the Jewish faith. And more importantly, God himself. And so Paul, when he comes to this section, you have to understand there's a lot going on in this moment. Because when Paul was over here in this violent, persecuting, blaspheming behavior, Paul was sitting on this side. He had a whole group, a camaraderie of people who have supported him. Way to go. Destroy those people who don't say it just like we say it. Attack those individuals who don't follow through. And we will applaud you. When he became a new creature in Jesus Christ, he looked back at these behaviors and said, those were wrong. Those were wicked. Now here's the sad part. This whole portion of the church was self-deceived. This whole portion represented in the true account of the Apostle Paul believed what they were doing was righteousness in God's sight. And Paul in this moment said, then God in his mercy showed me, dropped the scales from my eyes, and I said, this is wretched wickedness. This is hindering the work of God. And that struck me because it's easy to be on that side. It's easy to be on that side and feel righteous. It's easy to celebrate while somebody feels like they got to step up and attack a certain individual or group or people in the church. And you don't even realize that you're over there until suddenly the Apostle Paul becomes this new person and he sees things differently. And this group of friends would then leave him alone and walk away because he doesn't match the expectations they want of him any longer. He's no longer a violent man. He's no longer a blasphemer. You understand? And so here's Paul writing this moment of conversion. He looks out at us and through the, obviously, at Timothy, and he lets people say, listen, this is who I was. I was patted on the back by the church. They thought I had it figured out. They applauded me. They financially supported me. They said, go out there and attack those individuals. And then he says this phrase, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Notice who he gives credit even for his faith to. Was poured out on me that faith that I needed, that grace that I needed. Now, Paul is kind of an interesting character. I'm going to read you a few references I have here from the book of Acts. His name was originally Saul, and it says in Acts 8:3, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Acts 9:1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, guys over here, and they appointed him to go. I persecuted, Acts 22, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. Acts 26. I was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. That's Paul. That is not, I mean, I you've heard the story of Paul before. I want to think about the people that support that mentality. I want to ask the question, has it ever been a time when you got on the wrong side? When you supported that which was unrighteous or unbeneficial or ungodly or incorrect? And you stepped off to that one side and you applauded and you celebrated this individual or ourselves or whatever the case might be, and you found yourself out there on that spot. And I go, that's easy to do. I remember and watch sometimes at school, you get into this kind of gang up mode where kids can gang up on some person. You call it bullying, you call it all kinds of stuff, and they can say and do some pretty mean things. And the other ones are standing in the background going, oh yeah, let them go, yeah, tell them how bad you're. They're feeding into it. And they're doing something unbelievably wicked, but it's funny, or it's humorous, or it's ridicule. And as long as they're not the one receiving the ridicule, they're fine with the very thing going on. And I go, I've been on that side of that thing sometimes. I've been on those that laugh and encourage and jab and say, get them again. Hit them again. Knock them down. I've been there. Bet so have you sometimes. We get in that kind of mode every once in a while, and it messes with us. It hurts us. But Paul is trying to help us understand something. That even though I had all of this opportunity and support, all of this behavior, God in his mercy walked right into the middle of that whole crowd, grabbed hold of me, set me out here, and demonstrated a grace that I didn't deserve. Demonstrated and gave me power to come to my senses. Gave me an ability to look at the very people who I called my friends and say, you are no longer the same kind of friends you used to be. I won't be that man any longer. Now, Paul didn't become the new creature to spite them. He became the new creature because God showed him, because God revealed to him. And once he revealed it, those things no longer had value in his heart. In fact, Paul comes up with that confession where he says, I was the blasphemer. That's got made out of two Greek words. And the word is to hinder a rumor. So when you are spreading rumors that hinder the growth of the church, you're blaspheming. When you're spreading a rumor that hinders the reputation of another human being, you're blaspheming. Particularly if that human being is a fellow believer in Jesus. In other words, when you're hindering and you're spreading the rumor that would hinder the work of God in that individual's life or the way people would respond to that individual, that's what blaspheming is. And I go, that's really helped me because I realize that's easy to do. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Or I worked so hard yesterday compared to most of the people that were here. Yeah, yeah. You go, why would you start a rumor like that, Bruce? Well, I need to make myself feel important. I need to build myself up. I need to think more of myself. All the reasons, we all had them. So why are you belittling? Why are you bad-mouthing? Why are you knocking down? Why are you spreading a rumor? And remember, a rumor doesn't have to necessarily be false. I didn't work harder than everybody yesterday, by the way. Okay. But if it was true, okay, but it hinders growth, it hinders the work of the Spirit, it hinders the body of Christ, I can get myself caught up on this side so easily, supporting the very thing that divides the church, divides the people of God, divides my own family, sets my mother and father at war with each other because I let them, or did, was I the only one that did that? You get that little rumor or word, well, mom said I can, dad said, right? And I go, that's that spirit that can creep into us. And so here's Paul trying to take us right back into the core of this very essence of what he is and how deeply he felt this to a point of violence. You know, I just read those texts. I was willing to put him in jail. When it came to killing him, I raised my hand and said, let's kill him. I applauded it. So now, here's Paul's real message. The real message is not about those people. The real message is this. And God in his mercy, still came, tapped me on the shoulder and said, I love you. Well, I don't love you, God. I hate you. I know. I love you. But I'm killing Christians. I know, Paul. I love you. The miracle Paul wants us to finally walk away with is that no matter where I am, if I am caught in any of the rumors that destroy, any of the behaviors that kill, any of the attitudes that divide the church, I need to stop them, and it may cost me, here's the hard part, an acquaintance, a friend, a partner in the sense of people who used to walk with me. But God in his mercy, long-suffering as he has been, takes me from that situation, brings me to the other side, and then you begin to understand the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He didn't leave me there. He didn't let me live like that, attacking people and destroying the people of God or the church or children or whatever example I want to give in terms of wickedness. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people like that. And I've been there. And I can go back there in a moment. All you got to do is get in that right mood, right? All you got to do is just go, well, he should have done that different. She should have been different. They didn't have to do it that way. Why didn't they ask me? Questions, things that can do that. Here's a deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then we all relate to this in one sense, of whom I am the worst of all. If you can walk with Paul into that moment, Paul had all that stuff, but so do you. And so do I. All the, I could have done it differently, I should have done it differently, I could have behaved righteously, I didn't. If there's a person who hasn't got caught up in destructive gossip or hindering gossip, raise your hand. If you're a person that hasn't been affected by hindering gossip, raise your hand. And then Paul looks at us, he says, the miracle is not that I do that wretched thing. It's that even though I do that wretched behavior, God in his mercy found me, grabbed hold of my life, grabbed hold of me and said, I want you, come follow me. And that's the miracle of what he says. And he goes on, but for this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of all sinners, worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. Can you imagine the Spirit of God following the wickedness of this personality, following and tapping, going over to the place where they're drinking their beer, I still want you. Going to that place where they badmouth other people, I still want you. Following this person day after day, week after week, month after month, that's what he's trying to say. The unlimited patience of God, it isn't that God ever put an approval on the wicked behavior or put a stamp of approval on my drunkenness or anything else. It's that God continued to call, invite, draw this person until one day, Paul said, everything, the scales fell from my eyes and I saw and understood like I never understood before. I know this is conversion. I know Paul's talking about conversion. I want to talk about the change of heart you and I may need. Where are you over here? What do you moan about? What's your complaint? Where do you blaspheme your wife? Where do you blaspheme your husband? Where do you blaspheme the very people you work with? Where do you speak evil and hinder their life and by spreading or allowing rumor to flow out of your mouth? And I go, holy cow. That's not just me past tense. That creeps into my heart. You get in one of those attitudes. You get in that mode. Some kid drives you nuts in class. You go down to the cafeteria and suddenly you're going, hey, you got him in class? Yeah, I got him too, man, that little bugger. And what am I doing? I'm hindering the work of the Spirit. For what benefit? So I can make myself feel better. So I can build myself up. And so Paul is going, and here comes the mercy of God, the graciousness of God, whispering in my ear, whispering in your ear, and he says this again, that Christ can display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. And then he finishes off now to the King, who is eternal, immortal, invisible, and only God, the only true God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When Paul finished, he wanted people to know, if God can save me, he can save you. If God can change my heart, he can change your heart. And here's what I want you to hear. If you've got an attitude, a habit, a behavior that still has not changed, I don't want you to quit. I want you to know that God's patient spirit is pursuing you, moving, coaxing, removing the scales from your eyes. You don't have to continue to talk about your husband that way. You don't have to continue to have those attitudes towards your wife. Your children don't have to continue to feel that way about mom and dad. I want to heal the very attitude you have in your heart toward your boss, toward a friend, toward what was done evil against you. I'm going to change all of that. God's patience continues to work. And so I begin to understand God in his mercy is finally going to go, listen, I used to think like that too. I used to feel like that too. Have you ever said that? You go, hey, that's who I used to be. And you start to go, I can't do that anymore because God finally showed me how wicked that is, how compromised that is. And that may take weeks or months or years. I can be on this side and saved, born again believer in Jesus, and hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. I can be born again believer in Jesus and saved and badmouth somebody else in church. I can be a born-again believer in Jesus and ridicule my own wife or husband. Those attitudes follow me if I'm not careful, but here the message comes again. God in his patience is continuing to work in my life and will continue to put me back on that easel, that drawing board, that place where he cleans me up. We were joking about it in school that we're already done with 6 weeks of school. Hooray, you know. And we were joking, Linda and I will always go, how many days, Linda? And she'll spit them out, and I'll spit them out. And we go around like that once in a while, and I go, here's the miracle. And I always laugh, and I go, you never get out of God's school. There is no graduation, unless you want to call death graduation. And here's the hard part. He's harder on me than I am. He's harder, he's tough. Oh, no, do it again. Do it again. Do it. No more of this. No more. And you go, holy cow. Not only does he watch my outside behavior, he deals with my heart. The part most teachers can't see, obviously. And I'm going, here's what Paul wants us to understand. God in his mercy works in grace to save people like us, who rescues wretches and saves us from behaviors that destroy people. Pray with me. Undeserved, Lord, every day you love me, I never deserve it. You come out of heaven to grab hold of me, to take the scales and the blindness from my own eyes. You open my heart. You speak truth to my mind. You make me look at people and situations and myself differently. You expose my compromise. You expose my ability to blaspheme and undermine you and other people, the church and the reputation of your people. You continue, Lord, to touch me until finally, by your mercy and grace, I go, I want that newness of life that you offer, Lord. I'm praying, Father, that we would hear from Paul today an encouraging word, that grace is something we need every day and that we live under every day. And there is more to be given to our marriages, to our families, to our children, to us as individuals, to the way we live at work, to the way we function in this world, more than we can possibly ask or imagine. And so I'm praying, Lord, that in your mercy, your Spirit would work that in each of our hearts today. Let your will be done in our lives. I pray this in your name. Amen. As the offering is received, I pray God's blessing on that area of your life.